Right. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing this morning? Good. It is an exciting morning. Like you heard, it is our very first student takeover. And if you're new, you're probably like, man, what is student takeover? It's exactly what it sounds like. Students take over at different aspects of the service. So you probably saw two strapping young men on your way walking in. They probably helped you across the street. Okay, you probably saw some really nice smiles as you walked in. Those two lovely young ladies, probably saw, got bulletins from also two more lovely young ladies, and you just watched the band up here. There's students taking over different aspects of the service. Now, why? The importance of this morning is because we want to empower, to encourage students that they play an integral part of the body of Christ, right? Whether young or old, we all play an integral part of the body of Christ. Each is a member of the body of Christ and an important member, right? We don't just need arms. We need arms, legs, fingers, eyes, ears. We need all of it. And students, they play that part, as you've saw so far this morning, or as you've seen so far this morning. And so this is a special, special morning. And my prayer this morning is that we would leave here believing that and understanding that we all play an integral part of the body of Christ. Each one of us, again, whether young or old, each one of us play an integral part. And so that's my prayer this morning, that we would understand that. And I pray that you would see, as students serve, whether it be handing out a bulletin, whether it be leading us in singing praise to our God, whether it be walking across the street, that you would see, as students serve, they play this integral part. And that kind of leads us into the theme of this morning. And you saw the tagline, you've probably seen it on our shirts, the very white popping shirts, serve, not be served. And that tagline, it comes from Matthew 20:20-28. And we're going to dive into it in just a minute here, but Jesus is with his disciples, and he's telling them, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you must be like the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but came to serve. And he calls his disciples, he calls us to do that very same thing, to serve, not to be served. And that's a radical way to live, especially in our culture today. But before we begin, let me pray for our time. Let me pray that God would really implant in our hearts that we all play, whether this is your home church or not, that you play an integral part in the body of Christ, whether you are young or old. And I want to pray that we would leave here with a magnified view of who Jesus is, because he modeled what it looked like to serve. And he calls us to model that same way. And so my prayer is that we would leave here charged, equipped to serve in that same way. And so let me pray real quick. Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for our students, Lord, and their hearts to serve. God, thank you that it was an early morning for most of them. But God, they woke up and they were here. And God, I know that you are well pleased with them, Lord, and I know that, Father, you want to teach us the value of your body, Lord, the value of the body of believers as we meet together on Sundays and as we meet outside of Sundays, Lord. God, you want to teach us this morning that we each play an important and specific part in the body of Christ. Lord, you want to teach us this morning that your Son, he came to serve, not to be served, and he's calling us to do the very same thing. And Lord, if we do that very same thing, we will be great in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here with that. And I ask this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. And so you guys can turn and open up to Matthew 20:20-28. That's where we're going to be. And then you can also, if you got, you know, like a, I don't know, a bullet, you can use the bulletin. We're also going to be in Philippians 2:1-8. So those two passages this morning. So if you want to turn there and just kind of get ready while you're turning there, I'm going to give a little background and just kind of where we're at in Matthew. And so Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is getting ready. He's getting near to the end of his ministry. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's going to enter in as the peaceful king. But before he gets there, two things happen. He tells a parable to the disciples, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, that really highlights the generosity and the purpose of why Jesus came. And it highlights what his believers, what his disciples, how they're supposed to live. They're supposed to live with great humility. And then he predicts his death. And both of these things that kind of take place before where we're about to start are both themes that we see in verses 20-28. This theme of why Jesus came, What did he come here to do? And what is he commanding us to do? How is he commanding us to live? And so we pick up with the mother of Zebedee's sons, and Zebedee's sons are James and Jonathan, the sons of thunder. You may have heard of them like that. But their mother approaches Jesus, and this is what he says. He said, "Lord, I have a favor." And Jesus responds, "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." Let's just pause for just a quick second, because I think it's a little funny. Like, how many of us have moms like that who are like our walking and talking resumes? Like, you know, like, they will talk us up, and then they talk us up so much, you're like, I don't even know if I believe what you're saying. Like, is that actually true about me? And so here is their mother, and they've approached Jesus. It even reminds me of this moment in my life where, so when I was in elementary school, my mom, she would, bless her heart, I love her. I'm sorry if you're watching this, but she would pick out my glasses and jack me up. I'm gonna be honest. It'd be like a combination of Steve Urkel and Harry Potter, like a terrible combination, okay? But she thought I looked so good, and then she would go around asking people. She'd say, "Oh, doesn't my baby look so cute?" And I knew more than her. Like, the way that these people were responding is how Jesus responded to James and John's mother. He says, "You don't know what you're asking." Like, you don't know what you're asking. And Jesus said to them, he said, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" And they say, "We can." Jesus is asking, "Can you suffer the way I'm about to suffer?" And they say, "We can." A bold answer. "We can." And then he says, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers, right? They were mad. They're like, "You went behind my back? You went behind our backs, and you're trying to be above us? You're trying to be greater than us?" Right? Jesus sees the motive of their hearts right away. And even the disciples, they see it. And so Jesus, he calls all of them together. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And it's pretty similar to our culture, right? There's so many different systems, right, that there's these different hierarchy's not bad, but there's these different systems in our world that lord their power over us, right, that hold their power over us. And so it's very similar to our time. And so Jesus, he responds, he says, "Not so with you. Instead, my disciples, instead, church, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." It's a ransom for many. And that motive in their heart, because the reality is their mom wasn't just asking. John and James were asking the same question. "Lord, how do I be great, right? How do I get lifted up with you? How do I get put in this great position?" All right, that's a lot of times, whether it's unintentional or intentional, that could be the motive of our hearts. How can I get this promotion? How can I excel in this way and be better than others? Right? It's something that we all struggle with. And part of that comes from our ego. We naturally just want to be better at other things, and that turns into wanting to be greater than other people. And so in a kind and gentle way, Jesus, he exposes this motive of their hearts. And he says, "If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be great, be a slave." And that's a radical thing. But that's not something that's like really taught in our culture, right? Serve, and that's the way you're to be great. You know, be a slave. Be humble. Like that will display greatness. And I even see this a lot in just working with students. There's a lot of internal and external pressure. And I'm sure it's the same for many of us. There's a lot of internal pressure from ourselves to achieve a lot, to do well. And a lot of times that comes from us comparing and looking, right? We're turning. I'm like, "What's this person doing over here? How are they better than me? How are they greater than me? What's this person doing over here? Well, I'm not doing enough in my life because they're better than me." Right? There's this internal pressure that we have in ourselves to be great. And then there's external pressure, right? Again, as we're looking, maybe at our peers, at our coworkers, at society, at social media, right? Look at all these people who are better, who are greater, doing more things, have more money, have all these things, for their life is greater than mine. But in the kingdom of God, that is not so. Jesus says that if you want to be great, if you want to be first, you must be a servant. You must be a slave. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And Mark says this a lot, and I love it. It's very true. But Jesus never commands us to do anything he hasn't done, right? Never. He never commands us to do anything he hasn't done. And so he tells the disciples this because the way that motive in their heart to live that way is very dangerous. It's dangerous. To live in a way where I just want to be great and I'm very focused on myself. How can I lift myself up above others? How can I stand out above others? And I don't want to confuse, standing out is not necessarily bad. But when you stand out for the sole purpose just to be greater than the person next to you, that is bad, okay? That is not what Jesus wants. But he does call us to be set apart. He does call believers to look different than the world. And so we do need to be set apart. But that set apart he speaks about is being a servant, is being a slave. And so how does he respond? And what does he speak to? He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be, or sorry, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, greatness in the kingdom of God belongs to the servants of God. If we want to be great, we must be servants of God. Period. Period. There's no other greatness that matters. You can live your life, and it's not necessarily, I don't want you guys to mishear me this morning. Achieving great things, excelling in different areas of your life is a good thing. But if that is what you're living for, if that's your sole purpose, then you will be left high and dry. Those things cannot fulfill you. Those things cannot satisfy you. They cannot sustain you. They will leave you high and dry. That is why Jesus commands us to live in a way that is sacrificial, a way that is full of humility, a way that he lived. So greatness in the kingdom of God belongs to the servants of God. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, so if you want to turn there, he expounds on these things more. And before I read the passage, my prayer is that as we read these next few verses, there's a lot of prayers I have this morning, I just noticed, but my prayer is that this passage specifically would really magnify, because I think we can overlook what Jesus came here to do. Like, it's very easy to just kind of be numb to the gospel and what he came here to do on earth. And so I pray this morning that as we read these next few verses, that this would really magnify our love for the Lord. And that this would really magnify our desire to serve him. But Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. He says, who being in very nature, so let me back up a little bit. So Paul is writing this church to the Philippians, or is writing this letter to the Philippians. He's in prison at this time. He's encouraging them in different ways. And at this part in his letter, he's saying, in the same mindset of Christ, do these things. Have the same mindset of Christ. Who, being in very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of what? A servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I love what Ishan said earlier about how great thou art. Like, our God is great. Let's take a minute to look at this for a sec. He is a great God. Everything you see, the people around you, the world around you, the universe he has created, right? Our God has done all these things. All these things. And us, his enemies, he came down, sent his son in flesh, weak. Like, I mean, we're pretty weak. I played wiffle ball this past weekend, and I woke up very sore. And like, I'm only 23, and I'm like, why am I this sore? You know, like our bodies are weak. And this great God came into flesh to these weak and feeble bodies. But he didn't just stop there, right? I mean, he's fully God, but he did not consider that. He lowered himself. completely lowered himself. This is the God, I just want us to take a minute, because this can seriously be overlooked. The God of the universe came into a form of a man for you. You were his enemy. We were his enemies. And he came into the form of a man. Weak flesh, but did not just stop there, right? He then took on the penalty of our sin, right? Was beaten. And again, we even overlook his crucifixion, right? I mean, that was some of the worst, it was probably the worst torture in that time period. And he was humiliated completely, betrayed by his friends. All this for you and me. This is the God we serve. This is the Son that has saved us. Right, he came in the form of a servant. In the form of a servant. And Paul, he highlights that. He spends time with that because that is foundational for you and I. If we miss that, if we don't understand the purpose of why Jesus came, how he came, who he is, right, left the comfort of his Father to come for you and I, then we will miss the beauty of the gospel if we don't understand that. And so I pray that that would sink in for us. And God, through his Son, commands us to live in that same way. To live in that same exact way. And Paul, he continues to, through those verses, he highlights this. Because what did Jesus' time here on earth represent? How did he come to serve? He sacrificed. And that's what service takes. Service takes sacrifice. He sacrificed the comfort of his Father, the comfort of heaven. Right? His position, he sacrificed that for you and I. And the service that we are to live out, the way that we are supposed to serve, the way the disciples were supposed to serve, and the way that they did serve, right? They sacrificed their lives. They were, most of them were martyred, right? They were killed and hunted down. They sacrificed their lives. Jesus calls us to do that same thing. The service that we are supposed to live out, it takes sacrifice. And I even think about some of the students here at this campus, our other campuses. This summer, they're taking a week. They're sacrificing a week out of their summer to go and serve the community of Detroit. For what? Absolutely nothing. They don't get any reward. They don't get anything. But they're sacrificing a week out of their summer to go and serve the people of Detroit. And so service, it takes sacrifice. And a lot of times, we don't get a reward. But what we get is a God we can look to. A God who relates. A God on the day that we go and we visit him and we go to live with him will reward us for our time here on earth. And so service, it takes sacrifice. And sacrifice is hard. We also see that service takes humility. It takes humility. It says, Philippians 2:8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Right? For the two disciples, James and John, the posture that they came to before Jesus was not a posture of humility. They wanted to be great. They wanted to reign with Jesus, but over other people. They wanted to be greater than the other disciples. And that is a temptation for us. Whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally, it is a temptation to want to put ourselves above other people. But service, it takes humility. Just as Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on the cross, excruciating pain, we must humble ourselves from our ego. We must humble ourselves from our pride and from the things and the ways that we want to be greater than other people. This is the service that Jesus is commanding us to live out. It takes sacrifice, it takes humility, and the service, it takes obedience. Right? Jesus could not have done these things. He couldn't have served in this way if he wasn't obedient to the Father's will. God is going to command us and lead us to serve in difficult ways, ways that are extremely uncomfortable, ways that are extremely challenging. And I even think, again, back to this trip that the high schoolers would take throughout the summer. For a lot of them, it's outside their comfort zone. They're doing things, which is kind of sad. Some of them have never done yard work. But that's uncomfortable for them. You know, like, it's really sad that some of them haven't done yet. They're like, they're grabbing a rake and they're like, how do I use this? You're like, bro, what? But for a lot of them, they haven't experienced that trip. And so it's uncomfortable. It's difficult. It's hard. And God will command us. It's not a question. God will command us to serve in difficult ways. And maybe you have already. Maybe there's a coworker. Maybe there's a neighbor who's done nothing but mock you, has done nothing but make it difficult for you to reach them, for you to serve and to love them. But we're still commanded to go, to be their servant, to be their slave, to be obedient, and to serve them. And so service, it takes sacrifice. It takes humility. It takes obedience. It takes all these things. It's not about being great in the world's eyes and the world's perspective, right? The greatness that we want to pursue and achieve is greatness in the kingdom of God. And the way to do that is to serve, not to be served, just as the Son of Man came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so I have questions for us today. You know, where have you been seeking greatness? Is it in your achievements? Is it in your relationships? Is it in your vocation? Is it your kids? Is it even your relationship with God? How am I holier than other people? How much scripture do I know more than this person? Where are you seeking greatness? Is it in serving for the kingdom of God? Is it in serving the people of God? Is it in serving the lost, right? We're taking a pause from our I Have Good News series. And that series is all about going to reach the lost. It's going to evangelize to the people who don't know Jesus. And that requires us to serve them. But are we seeking our own greatness? And you fill in the blank. Or are we seeking it and being obedient, sacrificial, and humble servants for the Lord? That leads me to my next question. Is your service lacking sacrifice? Is it lacking humility? Is it lacking obedience? Each one of those things are difficult. But we must reflect. Am I serving? Am I sacrificing? Am I serving with humility? Because it can be easy to serve and still hold this position of, I'm doing this to help you because you need help, because I'm greater than you. We have to be humble. We have to lower ourselves just as the Son of Man lowered himself. And are we obedient? Last question. Who or what are you thinking about when you serve? Who or what are you thinking about when you serve? Whether you serve here on a Sunday, whether you're serving your family, whether you're serving a neighbor, a coworker, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how you are going to feel really good after you serve them? And how it's about you? Or are you thinking about that individual or that group or that purpose in which why you're serving? How are people viewing me? Is that something that you're thinking about when you serve? Or what reward will I gain? Who or what are you thinking about when you serve? And here's the reality. And I mentioned this earlier. But Jesus, he came to serve us. Do we deserve it? Absolutely not. Let me explain this. We're full of sin. And we were in need. And Jesus says that I came to give my life as a ransom for all of you. A ransom. There was a debt upon your life, and I came to serve you by giving my life for you, so that your sin may no longer count against you. He provided salvation at the expense of his precious blood, right? And he continues through the power of his Spirit to serve us by giving us everything we need to follow and to serve him. And I pray that that would compel us not only to love Jesus more, but to serve in his name. That he literally came here to serve us by saving us from the penalty of our sin. And he is commanding us to serve, not to be served. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. God, I pray truly, Lord, that we, Lord, would leave here understanding the weight of Jesus' life here on earth. That we would understand the weight of his sacrifice this morning. And God, that your Spirit would give us great clarity and wisdom and understanding of this. And as he does, Lord, would it compel us to not only love you more, but God, to serve you more, to serve your people more, to serve the body of Christ more, to serve the people in our neighborhoods more, to serve our coworkers, to serve the people who are lost. Lord, may it compel us to do those things. God, may it lead us away from wanting to be great for ourselves. May it lead us away from wanting to be greater than others, Lord. May the gospel do this. May the life of Jesus compel us. And God, I thank you again for these students who this morning embodied this well. God, may we learn from them. May we learn from each other. May you unify us, Lord, for we are your body and you are our head. God, we live to serve you. We live to serve your people. Pray this in Jesus' name.